Wednesday edition. The I Hear Taylor Swift counting down the days to the release of her new album on Sirius XM. 8 days until the NFL draft. 2 days until the release of Dead Poets Society or whatever she's calling her latest album edition. The It's hard to be late for work when your commute is down the steps, but I almost pulled it off.
Find a way.
Yeah, almost did.
Find a way.
Edition. And the Jesse has something he'd like to start the show with.
Oh.
We'll see how that goes. Edition. Of Wildy and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. 100.5 ESPN Madison. 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location. He is the Packers Hall of Famer and he is the president of the Reggie Miller Announcing Fan Club. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How is this dropping albums now? Like, when Taylor Swift does this, is this you have to get on Apple and download all of the new stuff? Or what's the big deal with dropping it on Thursday or whatever day she's doing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, what do you mean?
Good stuff.
Like, well,
how does it work?
It used to be you drop it and you'd have to run to the record store and you'd have to wait in line at Sam Goody's or whatever else.
Best Buy, sure, yeah.
Go about your deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do now?
Now you just buy it on whatever music platform you listen to it and you jam to it right away, right from home on your phone, on the computer, on your speaker, whatever you want to do.
Well, a lot of people, they don't sell it at all. They just stream it on Spotify, and you don't pay for it.
And you can still, not that I recommend doing this, but you can still steal all that music, right? That's still something that's in play. Like, is that fair?
I don't do that. I listen on Spotify. I listen to our show and Homer, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I use Spotify to access their
podcasts.
When's
the last time you listened to Homer's show on Spotify?
2 days ago.
Okay.
So, take that.
Oh, snap.
By the way, the album is called The Tortured Poets Department, not The Dead Poets Society.
I've heard it both ways.
Great film starring Robin Williams, if I recall correctly.
Is that implying that Taylor Swift is tortured? Is that what that is implying?
I don't know.
She's a tortured
poet? I don't know. She hasn't really... when we listen to Channel 13 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, she doesn't... You hear her voice count down the days till it's released, and you hear a bunch of Swifties talking about why they're such ardent fans, but she did not explain
now.
The album.
In a world of phony stars and blah, 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 she is a star.
Yes.
She's the Caitlin Clark of music.
Well,
how's that?
Unless you ask Brett Favre, who thinks she is using Travis Kelce to gain notoriety, which I don't think is an accurate depiction of who's benefiting from that relationship.
No, that is not
the most.
That's not.
I love you guys.
Jesse, I don't want to steal your thunder because you were very excited to discuss a topic today. And I am very eager to see how interested others on the panel are in your topic.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes. But you know that I have had a long-standing saga dealing with leftover food.
You're a big leftover guy.
So years ago, I think it was the first year that I produced the show, we had a big conversation about if you go out to eat with your significant other and you put your leftovers in the fridge, for how many days does it go before it's fair game for anybody to eat the leftovers?
I remember that.
That was a big controversy.
Then there was
house.
The correct answer was you get one lunch after, and then the second day it's over. It's fair game. That was the correct answer.
Then came the controversial visit to the Kohl Center.
Yep, the Kohl Center Pepsi suite with Tier 1 Tyler. By the way, I need your trivia questions today, Tyler. Let's get those in.
Do we, though?
Well, smirched him all week. What do you expect?
So I went to the Badger game in the suite with him. There were two to-go boxes. I called dibs on one of them to scrounge up the leftover food that was available at the end of the night before anybody else that was actually hosting the suite had a chance to grab it. And I was much maligned for my involvement in said practice there.
I respected it.
Tausch did not. I think that's fair to say. That's fair.
Yes, so was it your suite? Like it was, if they told you to go do it, you can't just start loading it up. You're freeloading already the whole time. So you can't just take all, but I digress. Continue.
So the latest edition of Jesse versus the Leftovers comes from home last night. So on Sunday, we were at a little family gathering, and there was a bunch of pizza out for everybody to consume. There was leftover pizza. Tons of to-go boxes. Everybody grabbed some to-go pizza if you wanted it. There was plenty to go.
Okay.
So I grabbed one to-go box, and there was one slice of a like spicy jalapeno pizza that and it was cut into squares. I don't know how we feel about that, but there was one square of spicy jalapeno pizza, like a deluxe. Becca wanted that one, so I grabbed that one, and then the rest was pepperoni. Threw all the pepperoni slices.
It's not a pepperoni.
As much as we could pretty much fit into the to-go box.
Uh-huh.
So on Monday, I was packing up, with the infamous lunchbox that ended up in the tree. I was packing my lunch to come in on Monday.
For the video.
Leftover pizza, a nice little thing to just bring in, eat quick on the fly. So I'm in the fridge, and Becca's working at home on Monday, so she was planning on having some leftover pizza as well. So I grab a few slices, I started throwing it in, and I just grabbed a little thing of Tupperware to put it in, and there were two slices that fit into the thing of Tupperware. I'm like, okay, that's good. I wanted a third. I knew I was going to be hungrier because two slices of a square, like, it's not really enough, but it was going to be enough for lunch.
Square to one diagonal slice.
See, I was going
right?
to say three.
Right?
I was going to say three, but okay. Four is
okay.
Good, too.
I think we can live with that either way. That's a fair conversion system.
So I put the two squares in my Tupperware to go. The other square of pepperoni was the largest square in the to-go box. Didn't fit in the thing.
Uh-huh.
So I pack it up, throw it in the red lunchbox, and then before I put the pizza back in the fridge, I took one bite out of the pepperoni square that was still in the thing.
Cold?
Yep, cold. I love cold pizza. So I took I didn't have any breakfast. I'm like, I was planning on taking this.
Hey, don't say that.
You were on that show, right?
I was, regularly.
Nice.
Did you give any takes on that show? That's a whole nother story. All right, continue, Jesse.
So
I don't know. I think both players could be very, very good. If they could both be very, very good. Continue, Jesse.
Catching strays because you took a bite of the cold pizza in the fridge.
So I got home Monday, and Becca seemed kind of irritated with me, but I didn't really, like, sometimes she just is, so I didn't really ask anything
hard to believe.
About it. And then yesterday, we're sitting down to eat dinner last night, and she throws a shot at me. About, well, yeah, I'm hungry for the second day in a row. I'm, like, starving, sitting down for dinner because I barely had any lunch. I said, well, what do you mean you barely had any lunch? Like, you had the slices of pizza. She said, well, there was only the one jalapeno slice because you took a bite out of the pepperoni one. Mm. And I said, yeah, I just took one bite. Like, that was still your slice of pizza. It was just the largest slice of pizza that was left. And she said, no, when you take a bite out of it, that means you're calling dibs on that slice of pizza. And I said, that's not true. That's not how I approach this. And she said, ask the guys. So here I am asking the guys. If you take a bite out of something.
Yeah. I don't know how you could possibly think that Becca's in the wrong on this. Now, if you had taken a pizza cutter and cut it in half and left it.
Or
no
scissors.
Problem, you really think Becca, who, God bless her, kisses you willingly and married you, you really think she's interested in looking at a slice of pizza that old Jelly just took one big old chop out of, and you have all your teeth prints and everything on the side of it? You think she wants to eat that?
Yes.
Do you?
She's done that for food that's been in the fridge that I've eaten. It doesn't bother me. Like, if she just wants it, like, there's a lot of times you just want to take one little nibble of something. You don't want the entire slice. You don't want the entire brownie, whatever it is. And so if it's still there, I don't mind finishing the deal.
Am I the only one dumbfounded by this?
Now, I'll say this. There'll be times if you're eating cake that you'll share the cake immediately with your wife, or if it's a brownie, or if it's a piece of blueberry pie.
Blueberry.
But I don't think I've ever gotten to the point where I just will take a bite and fire it back in the fridge.
In the container.
Anybody's going to eat it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you dumbfounded
You by? Might as well have written your name on the container, because you left your teeth impressions. Like if
I don't
the CSI
understand
crew
why you
came
would
in.
Just take one bite and then fire it back.
Because
in the
and why didn't you take a bite of the ones you were taking
how
with
often,
you to the office?
Yeah. How often do you and Becca spaghetti noodle lady and tramp it?
Never.
So why would you think she's going to eat your leftover?
Because
crust bitten pizza.
I don't think it's weird when you're married to, like, eat something that someone else has taken a bite of. Like, we've had snacks and, like, cookies and things before where she'll take a bite of it and go, I don't really like that, and gives it to me, and I finish it.
In real time.
Fair. Yeah. And that,
but that's fair in real time. So,
same thing if you got, like, a tray of brownies. Like, that's the one example that clearly comes up. Like, if we got a tray of brownies and you take one bite of a brownie, you're like, I just wanted a bite of it. I wanted something sweet real quick. Yeah. I didn't want the whole brownie. If you want to eat the rest of that, go for it. And then maybe in a minute, maybe in an hour.
Your argument is starting to formulate. What?
No, you took a bite out of an item. You put it back in the container, put it back in the fridge for her to discover
Jesse,
at lunchtime.
Jason, how often do you share food with Paula?
Never.
I think that's weird.
Like, never ever?
I think that's weird.
Well, she's a vegetarian.
She's a vegetarian. Let's say she's got a great tofu stroganoff, okay? She's eating the tofu stroganoff, and she says, Jason, you got to try this.
No.
Would you take if she forked?
Yep, yes.
So that's the same thing that Jesse's talking about.
It's not,
it is.
Though. There's a difference between eating it. No, there isn't. Would you like to try this? Eat it off the fork. Difference. Then I took a bite of the food. I understand.
So,
but there's a time element
Jesse
that's different here.
To castigate Jesse is not fair here. I initially thought
what
the same thing, and
to
I
you?
Still. Because I don't think. I think if you're going to be married, sharing food is no problem. I don't have what. I think if old girl was hungry enough. If old girl was hungry enough, she'd say, do I want to have this piece? She could have eaten around the rest of the pepperoni pizza and left the bitten crust for Jesse. I don't know. If it's you and me, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, obviously.
If it's Jesse,
if
it's your spouse, I don't have a problem. I am now coming over to Jesse's side of the table.
There's only one person that it's fair game with in the entire world. Like, I wouldn't do this with my parents. I would, if I had siblings, the only person I would ever do this with that I'd be comfortable sharing a bite out of the food would be a significant other. And that's the case here. It was two big slices of pizza she had for lunch. Then she only ate the one because I took the bite out of the other. She clearly wanted the slice. She could have eaten the slice. Instead, she chose to go hungry.
I don't think that you are not comparing apples to apples or a cold pizza to Lady in the Tramp.
I have a great hamburger. It tastes great. And Sarah got a salad. Sarah's like, oh, can I get a bite of that? Absolutely.
Again,
here's the burger.
You're talking.
And what is the difference? When you really look at it, what's the difference?
There is a difference because you're not.
But what is it?
You're not. First of all, she didn't ask for a bite of Jesse's pizza. Jesse took a bite of the pizza and then left her the remainder.
It was just an instinctual act at 8 in the morning.
Is it disgusting that Jesse just slobbered on it and then fired it back in a bin?
This is different.
It wasn't my best
decision.
It's
his wife, though.
But it's fine.
It's his wife. They don't have anyone else living with them that I know of.
Mo.
The dog, but no one else.
While I think there's a difference, the bottom line is you share food. And this is shared food. Days later, yes, it is shared food. So if you are of the belief that you cannot share food with your wife, I get it. That's fine.
All right, I
am a sharer of that. I like to. Matter of fact, We did something that you guys would probably find completely disgusting over in Italy. And that's maybe why we got sick. We ordered four different entrees, and we'd take 2 to 3 bites, and we'd rotate the entree left.
Oh, like you spun the table?
And then you'd get to eat that entree. So everybody got a dabble, and then it would come back, and you'd get to finish your entree. Then we'd say, oh, Max's entree was the best of the group. So I'm actually more on Team Jesse than I thought.
This is incredible. This is, first of all, I can't believe how quickly you turned. You never turn on anything this quickly. Like, you did a total 180 on this. You were castigating, to use your word, him to start
really
this.
I castigated the fact he slobbered and threw it back in the fridge. That's the casting.
I personally believe that there is a time element here. Okay? If you're doing it in real time while you're all sitting at the table, that's different than someone taking a bite, putting something back in a container, and putting it back in the refrigerator. I understand that there is you're still eating the same stuff that your wife is. I understand that. But there is a time element to sharing while you're both there versus leaving it in the refrigerator. Secondly, if I see someone took a bite out of a piece of pizza, I assume that they are planning on finishing the rest of the pizza. They're not leaving it for me, because only a jackwagon would take a bite and then think that I was going to want it. If you take a bite and I see that there's a bite out of a piece of pizza and I'm not the one who took it, I'm guessing that that person is coming back to eat the pizza. So I am passing on that. Like, you call dibs with your chompers. And finally, what if you had just grabbed a knife and cut a little slice off? And by the way, which part of the pizza did you bite? I'm assuming you took the part where there were, like, the most pepperonis or whatever. You didn't take a bite out of the back end of the crust.
Nah, it was the crusty end. It was the crusty corner. So it was kind of like, it made a little...
Was it Detroit-style caramelization or not?
No, it was very, very thin pizza, so it made kind of a little semicircle in the corner by the crusty corner part.
I don't know what I'm more disappointed in. Your decision-making, or the fact that Tausch came around and is now on your team.
I got to admit,
his decision making of biting and slobbering and firing back in a bin is wrong. But the basic principle, Jesse and Becca share food. They will go out and they'll bite each other's steak. They will split a sandwich. I don't
tofu
know if you
casserole.
Do you split soup? Do you give a bite of soup? You know, oh, this is a great mushroom soup. Oh yeah, take a bite. Here you go. Try it. Yeah. That's called being a family.
Pretty much always we offer each other a taste. Like, you want to try this?
Yes.
She usually says no.
There
I usually
is nothing
say yes,
different about it. They are sharing food.
You just hit on the difference. Do you want
what?
To take a bite out of it? Do you want to try this?
Mm-hmm.
You inquired. In this instance, you decided, I'm taking a bite of this and I'm leaving it for
Jesse,
her.
Jesse, how many times have you and Becca shared food in the course of your courtship slash?
A lot of times.
So... there are basic principles that are
rules
buried into relationships. This is one. We share food. We do. That's why I don't have a problem. And I am now ruling Team Jesse over Team Becca, which I
do declare.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Again,
big win for Jesse.
Slobbering and leaving it is disgusting by
Jesse. So then
Jesse.
How can you have it both ways? You kill me for having it both ways.
They share food. You either are a food sharer or you're not.
Slobbering and putting it back in the fridge was wrong, but taking a bite out of it was right. Who are you, me?
Yeah. No, there's no hedging. I just told you what the deal is.
I didn't
slobber. You can't take one thing that he did and rule it both as right and wrong.
Because the basic principle is they share food.
You sound like me. Bless you.
Gesundheit.
Don't sneeze on the pizza.
Allergy season. I'm with you, old T. Another thing we can be on the same team about.
If Gina Della had offered you a bite of her steak that had fallen on the floor at the restaurant, what would you have done?
I would have tried it because I do what Gina says. We know it's on. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella windows and doors. The luxurious look, sleek design, and custom colors available are guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and to keep you comfortable. It is the best of both worlds. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home, never been easier. We got hammered with a storm last night. I don't know if there was hail, but it was Hammer City. Not even a, didn't even lose one wink of sleep. I got Pella windows and doors. I am money. I will be as comfortable as you could possibly be. Not a sweat about it. And right now you can do 0% interest for 36 months, or you got no down payment, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Pella windows and doors of Wisconsin.
I would love to get to NFL draft preview coverage, but I really want to know now what the text line says.
There, I think we've got more text on this than we've had on anything since the Packers lost
to Jesse,
the 49ers.
By the way, appreciate you bringing a great topic to the beginning of the show. And bringing the goods. That was
my
fantastic.
Pleasure, Tosh.
I appreciate
you. So for all y'all
that
sit there and say, well, Tosh poo-poos this and that, I don't poo-poo great ideas. Ever. Never do I poo-poo great ideas. Ever.
So I guess you're saying that yesterday the sheriff behind me was not a great idea, and
well,
that's why you had no interest.
Hey, Jason, here's the deal. Jesse brought follow-up with it, and other. He didn't just say, well, okay.
So you managed now to turn Jesse's story into blaming me for you not being interested in yesterday's topic.
I didn't ask
that's
for
what
that.
Happened
I was
here.
Very
I
interested, but I'm not sure
no,
where. Like, at some point when you're the storyteller, you have to advance the story. You can't just be, okay. Well, what do you think?
We're
all right,
check
what else, Jesse?
We're gonna check
what else,
text.
Jesse?
We're
what else he got?
Sounds like a tacit admission that you didn't find it that interesting, and that was really all that happened yesterday. Today, Tausch's team, Jesse. Congratulations. We'll check on the text messages next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
I don't know what to say. I don't care if Monday was... You're either a food sharer or you're not. Famous words.
What it is. That's the crux of what Jesse just went.
You're either selfish or you're considerate. There was no proffer of do you want some of this or would you like to try this? Those are different scenarios. They're different. She did not have any opportunity to comment on whether or not it was okay to take a bite out of this. Presumptuous.
Did Jesse not say that Becca only wanted the jalapeno pizza? Is that not what Becca told Jesse when they were boxing the pizza?
If Jesse, you want to justify selfish behavior,
no.
You go right ahead.
Jesse, is that what happened?
I said, I'm going to go grab some leftover pizza. What kinds do you want? She said, I want to get that spicy jalapeno if there's any of that left. So I grabbed one of those,
Jesse,
the only one left, and then the rest was pepperoni.
Did you take a bite of the spicy jalapeno?
No, I didn't like the spicy jalapeno.
Oh.
Too caliente for
so
me.
So he did not take a bite of the pizza that Becca hand.
But you would have been justified in doing so based on your theory that sharing is okay. So even though she said she wanted it, if he wanted a bite, he would be justified in taking that
he would
bite
have been
because
it.
It's sharing.
What?
You're either a sharer or you're not.
I'm not telling you Jesse's move here wasn't incredibly selfish. That's not the crux of the argument. The argument
you either are
or you're not a food sharer with your spouse. That's the argument. If you are not. What Jesse did is completely and utterly despicably wrong. But if you are a food-sharing family, there is no problem with what happened. None.
Jesse.
That's the crux of the matter.
Are the good people of the Wilde and Tausch listenership and viewership supporting you and Tausch, or supporting the rest of us that think you're a selfish jackwagon.
So you know I always usually try to lead with a text that'll support me. That's not the case here in this situation. Jim and Fond du Lac, break off a piece, you Viking. Don't take a bite of it. Fair. Yeah, okay. I could have, like, again, we're in a time crunch. I'm
you're
packing
either
up for lunch
or
to get to work.
You're not.
Like, I'm not going to sit there at those who are saying, well, just put a different, put that slice, take a bite of it, and then put that slice in the Tupperware to go. We're on a time crunch here. We got deadlines to get in to run the show. We got to get the video streams.
That,
the Tausch is coming in to record.
That would have been a smart thing to do.
I'm not going to take 7 minutes to rearrange the entire Tupperware situation.
7 minutes.
Unpack and renovate.
Okay. Okay, what else you got there?
I can't keep up with the text, so I'm just going to have to read them from the... I can't flash them all up. There's so many.
That's fine.
Ian in East Troy, at one point your significant other was a stranger, so in theory, there's no difference between you sharing a bite with her, or Tausch, or Jason.
Ian...
That's not true. But in this situation, you weren't dining together, so I would say taking a bite claims the piece for you.
Yeah, again, there's multiple layers to this pizza decision you made. The time element of eating together and offering a bite while you're eating versus putting it back in the refrigerator for her to discover later. Inconsiderate. It is not as simple as you're either a food sharer or you're not, in my opinion. There's an opinion for you.
Dan.
So, Jason, for the record, you can be selfish and inconsiderate and still be a food sharer.
Right, but we're questioning the appropriateness of this, and you have to weigh both aspects of it. The inconsiderateness and whether or not she... I quit.
But they are a food-sharing family. They are. That's what they do.
Do you let Mo eat off your fork?
No, absolutely not. And... Becca's been known to throw him something while we're sitting at the table. I say, absolutely not. I'm going to get up.
Do you kiss your cats, Jason? Do your cats lick your face?
Cats aren't really face lickers, generally speaking. Dogs, yes.
The dogs kiss your face and like lick your lips and stuff like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now,
but you're all disgusted that Jesse, who he is
I'm
married
not.
To Becca,
you, we're, as
is,
we are as we are often
continue
as is often
on,
the
no,
case on this show, we're arguing different points. You're arguing whether it's okay to do that. I'm arguing that he's an inconsiderate jackwagon.
Matt and Superior.
Oh, he's inconsiderate. I'm not. I hope you don't take this as that I'm saying he's considerate for doing this.
You said he was in the right.
That's not what I'm saying.
You said he was in the right.
Completely in the right.
Madden Superior texted, as long as it's still in the original take-home container, taking a bite and putting it back is fair game for whoever wants it. I personally wouldn't have taken the large piece for lunch and left her a smaller one with a bite out of it, but so be it.
Yeah.
I like
so
that
what
rule.
Happened
you
to
put
this?
It back in the to-go container, it's fair game.
Did you eat the bitten pizza later then?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I called dibs on it in her world, so therefore it was mine, so I didn't feel bad.
In everybody's world except for yours and Tausch's.
I said, no, that's your slice. Eat the slice. She said, I don't want it. You called dibs on it by taking a bite out of it. So I ate it. I mean,
right.
If it was just going to go in the garbage otherwise, right. I'm going to eat it.
Okay. I don't want to poo-poo. Because I know how that feels when people poo-poo your topics. What I do want to do is get to Brian Bulaga, and I want to ask him what he thinks, along with what he thinks of where the Packers' offensive line is and everything else as the draft approaches a week from tomorrow. I want to remind you, we haven't talked about the Bucs yet. We haven't talked about Tausch getting irritated with Reggie Miller. He would definitely not share pizza with Reggie Miller. But if you're a Bucs fan, then you should be tuning into Behind the Bucs on the Bucs Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucs dives deep into Bucs and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucs star Brandon Jennings. That's the current episode. You can find it on Bucs Plus. You'll take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origins of Bucs and Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucs fans alike. So Behind the Bucs, again, Bucs.com/plus, the Bucs app, wherever you get your podcasts, all presented Behind the Bucs by Gallagher. Brian Bulaga shares our pizza Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
In Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
I hear this song now, I expect Ryan Bulaga to show up.
It's the impact it's had.
We love it when he joins us. We missed him last week. He was on the tailgate tour. But we got him now. Back home again on his donkey and orange farm. It is the Packers right tackle, and I'm sure a food sharer with Abby. It is Brian Bulaga.
Sure.
Brian, good morning. How are you?
Guys, good morning. Hey, I'll tell you this much. On that tailgate tour, I don't know how many people came up to me. This is just how, you know, popular you guys are. Came up to me and goes, how's that donkey farm going? You, I mean, you got any donkeys yet? And I'm just like, I'm like, no, I don't have any donkeys. And, but... I appreciate you listening to my segment on the Wilde and Tausch show. I appreate it.
So you guys are
extremely popular throughout the state of Wisconsin. So that's kudos to you guys.
I'm sorry to have created a misapprehension about your farm and what you may or may not have there. That's 100% my fault. Because you're such a professional at this radio thing now, I know you like to tune in to the program ahead of time. Have you been listening to our debate about, and again, I don't quite understand how Tausch is splitting this hair, but it's okay that Jesse took a bite of the pizza, but it's selfish and inconsiderate that he took a bite
Jesse
of the pizza.
Jesse is selfish and inconsiderate, though. That's part of his charm.
Well, it's like his default setting, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, so Tausch, you're saying it's not okay to take a bite of your significant other's food?
Great question.
No.
Not sure.
I am totally on board. We are our family, we share food. We like trying, you know, Sarah likes different kinds of food. She wants to try what Max got, what I got, what Eleanor got.
Yeah.
I'm on board. And all I'm saying is what Jesse did in taking the bite of leftover pizza and then flopping it back in the Tupperware bin, is it selfish?
Yeah, you can't
yes.
do that. Yeah, you
it's
can't
selfish,
do that.
But you're saying you can't. But he's saying he can. That's
but
the Blue, problem here.
Jason, if I may.
You may.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
So, Blue, they are a food-sharing family. They share food. They go out to restaurants. They share. So, is it the end of the world that he took a bite of this pizza? It's disgusting. No doubt about it. But that's what they do as a family. They share food.
Yeah, I mean, sharing food is fine, but, I mean, Jesse, did you just take a bite of pizza and put it back in the Tupperware and then put it back in? Like, what'd you do?
I was throwing leftovers into my infamous lunchbox, which is a story of its own on this show at different points. So I was throwing some leftover pizza into the bin, and the biggest slice of pepperoni didn't fit, so I put it back in the container for Becca to have for lunch. But since she had the two biggest slices then, I thought, not a big deal if I take one little nibble out of the corner piece of this one. In an instinctual moment, I hadn't had any breakfast. I wasn't having as much pizza for lunch as I thought I would have, so I just took one quick bite, put it back in. She had the rest of it for the day.
I mean, listen, I mean, you know, and yep. I met your wife, you know, at the event the other night. Seems like a lovely woman. But I will say this. There's no way she was okay with that when she opened it back up and saw a bite was missing
out.
She was
irritated for 2 days. And then I found out on Tuesday evening that she was frustrated. She said I called dibs on the slice. That wasn't the case. I just wanted one quick bite. It was hers.
Yeah.
It was the opposite of dibs.
I mean, you take a bite. You might as well have just finished it. And then, you know, then she could have said, well, I called dibs. I'm like, sorry, I took a bite. I got to eat it now. Sorry. You just got to, but I mean, you got to bite the bullet one way or another. Like, now you're known as like kind of like a guy that you know, we'll take a bite of something, put it back in the fridge. Like, no, Abby would kill me. There's no way. She'd go, she goes, how do you take a bite out of this and leave it?
Even though you share food at dinner, it's different, right?
Yeah. That's a different.
Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, that's a different story. Like, sharing it as everyone's eating at once and then taking a bite and putting it back in the fridge or Tupperware for someone else to get is, that's a completely different ballgame. Like, this is, I mean, yeah, no, Abby would kill me.
So nice to have a co-host who makes sense. Just logical. Doesn't try to say both sides of an argument. Well, if you're a food-sharing family, it's okay, but it's still selfish and inconsiderate. God,
Things can be true.
Both things can be true. But I do this all the time, and you kill me for seeing both sides of the argument. All right. So now that we've established that that Jesse is wrong and Tausch is wrong, and you and I are right, tell us a little more about your trip on the tailgate tour, because
We got to hear about the awkward. So you have been with Jesse, has called you. You know Jesse now. You've been on the show for a year.
Yeah.
It go? Because Jesse basically came up and he was skittish to meet you. And it sounds like it was kind of an awkward first meeting person to person. What did you take away from your meeting with Jesse?
No, I mean, listen, like, I have not met Jesse in person, but I was getting ready to sign a helmet because at every stop we had to sign three helmets that were either raffled or auctioned, whatever it was, whatever. And I was signing a helmet, and he, you know, I didn't really see, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone, and then he made an Iowa reference, and I knew his voice, so I knew it was him, so I laughed, and I was like, and I looked at him like, Iowa's still in your head, you're still making Iowa references, you mean, even on the tailgate tour, there he is, and I don't know if it was awkward, but I knew it was him right away, I heard the Iowa and the voice, I knew it was him right away.
Well, that clears some of it. It made me laugh. I didn't know me, and I thought you were irritated right away. Like,
so you gave a fake laugh. That was a fake laugh, yeah, though, right?
It was a half-hearted chuckle because I knew he was still on the Iowa kick. I mean, you know, I told Jesse, you know, the great University of Iowa lives in his head rent-free all day, every day. And, that's our first meeting in person. That's kind of how we wanted to break the ice, was making an Iowa dig and – it was funny, but you know, it is what it is. No big deal. It's okay. I mean, I know if I was walking up to Jesse, I know I definitely would have made a dig at Wisconsin. I just would have said, "Hey, bud, how's it going?"
Yeah,
you know, maybe tap him on the shoulder.
Yeah,
but he's a big Wisconsin fan. He's a big Wisconsin fan. You know,
so you knew it was him though, because he thought. You just thought he was some rando who was taking a shot at Iowa.
I knew it was him. Mm. Listen, the voice alone, you know,
my follow-up. Is that better or worse?
No, like, I know I can pick out his voice from a crowd, no problem. Like, that's absolutely no problem. But, and then, you know, the voice then plus the Iowa dig. I mean, not many people... You know, I'm in the state of Wisconsin, so, you know, maybe you get some Iowa banter, but no one came up to me and took shots at Iowa. Only Jesse.
One of a kind.
Yep.
So, like, that's how I knew. And, I mean, I know what you look like, Jesse. I mean, give me a break.
Well, I thought about that. We don't really ever see each other on the video stream because I never put myself up on it when you're on. So I don't know if you knew what I looked like.
I've seen you plenty of times on the video stream. I know what you look like.
Well, I'm glad we've cleared up and made your entire appearance thus far about Jesse. You want to talk about the Packers next?
Sure, whatever you guys want to talk about. Okay. I'm good.
We'll spend more time with Brian Bulaga, and Jesse will not be the center of our universe during the conversation. Tackle Talk with Brian Bulaga is next. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in
clarify this from earlier in the week. So, continuing with two of the greatest right tackles in Packers history, Forrest Gregg, then Brian Bulaga, then Mark Tauscher. Just to be clear on what the pecking order is, because I believe I called Brian Bulaga the greatest right tackle in Packers history. Somebody didn't catch the joke that was taking a dig at old T. Yes, Forrest Gregg, better than both of you, but just by a little. Tackle talk between Tausch and Bulaga begins now.
All right, so Blue, we missed you last week with your out on the tailgate tour, but Domofsky brought the goods on Friday with the Zach Tom talk, which I know we've heard and we discussed a little bit. But from your perspective, you're pretty good buddies with Elgton Jenkins. You played with him. He was on the tailgate tour. Am I crazy to think that if you're going to make these moves, Elgton is now in what, year six or seven? Who do you think's a better center prospect moving forward, Elgton Jenkins or Zach Tom?
Elgton. I think Elgton's a better center prospect than Tom. I think from the standpoint of Elgton, obviously, has been playing. I mean, he's played everywhere along the offensive line. Elgton had a stint at center for longer than four snaps, which that's all Zach Tom had was four snaps at center. Mm-hmm. Elton's had snaps at center, and he was pretty dang good at it. So if we're looking at, you want to keep a guy like Elgton Jenkins in the building, which the Packers do, and I know Elgton has a couple years left on his deal, but after this deal runs out, you know he's a good player, you know he's steady, you know he can play center. Why let a guy like that walk out the door that probably would be willing to play center down the line? Keep a guy like that in the building, a guy that knows the offense, he's a good veteran presence, you know you're going to get high level of play, and put him there, then build around it, right? Draft another guard or buy another guard or whatever it may be. But I said this, you know, Jason, you know, on Monday we talked about this on the Homer Hour. There is absolutely no way you are moving an all-pro caliber tackle to play center. It's just not happening. Every general manager in the NFL, because if they think otherwise, they're going to be fired soon, that thinks you put a great tackle into center because some personnel guys in the building believe he could be a Hall of Fame center, could be, maybe, we don't know, they will never do it because everyone knows the tackle positions are the most important positions on an offensive line. Every GM knows it. That's why every GM is always looking for great tackles to play. I understand that there's great pass rushers up and down defensive lines, but most of the time, the highest paid defensive linemen are defensive ends, and you need to have great tackles to block those guys. So why would you move one that when most, and it's admitted by our own GM, most teams play nickel anyway. So that means there's four defensive linemen, the center is uncovered, and he's just helping guys from time to time in pass protection. Why would you take one of your best blockers and say, yeah, you can help the guard at times, instead of having him out on an island blocking a top-tier player, you know, 90% of the game on his own? It's just never going to happen. It's ridiculous. I get Rob might have heard that from someone inside the building, which, hey, maybe that's what some people think. Mm-hmm. But I assure you, if you bring that to Goody, hey, Brian, let's move Zach Tom, our best pass blocker, into center. He's going to look at him and go, you nuts? Are you kidding me? Not a chance. Not a chance. No way. No way.
But Blue, in fairness, that's where Goody drafted him, was to play center, and he has said that he's got a ton of potential there. So it's not like Rob is making this up from nowhere. He heard
we know that.
Yep. Multiple people.
Yeah.
And I agree. First off, Zach Tom is a stud. And I think Zach Tom is going – but he's going to want to get paid. He's going to want to stay out at tackle. The Elgton Jenkins part of this is interesting because the reason the conversation started was I just asked point blank. Josh Myers has 1 year left on his deal. You know how this game goes. If they want to keep Josh Myers, they will preemptively go offer him a deal around what Biadasz got, which is, you know, somewhere 9 to 11 million a year, and sign him long term. They're not going to do that. None of us on this panel believe that. So then you have to start thinking, what's next for that? And my question, Elgton Jenkins has been so good. He's played left tackle. He's not a big fan of right tackle, but he's played left guard at an incredibly high level. Is it there where you just start thinking, let's go through this year, we'll go, and if something happens to Josh Myers, Elgton Jenkins will be your center moving forward. Is that what you would do?
Well, I mean, before I, you know, look to potentially pay a center from the market, right, like go out into free agency or take a chance on drafting a young guy and placing him at center, you know you have a built-in guy in the building. Like, you got a guy in the building that can do it and play at a really high level. And then you can maybe draft a guard or go pick up a guard in free agency that probably won't cost as much money as, you know, you can probably get a guard, a good guard, for $4.5-5 million or something like that. Then you have Elgton under contract. And then when Elton's deal comes up, you know it's not going to demand the same amount of money as it would if he was playing left guard. You just know it. I mean, we'll just call it what it is, right? Like, all pro guards get paid different than all pro centers, or Pro Bowl centers and Pro Bowl guards. It's a different market. And I get Elgton would have to understand in his head that, like, I'm not going to get paid as much playing center as I would guard, but I know the longevity of my career can be extended if I play center. And that's the one thing I look at is as guys get older in their, you know, career, obviously, as I did, I had no choice. I was playing tackle no matter what. I can't play guard. I never could play guard, and I'm sure as heck not playing center. But a guy like him that's so versatile that can play up and down the line, is as time wears on and your body can't do the same things it did, say, 4 or 5 years ago, and you can play center and play it at a high level, why not? Why not? You have a guy built in that could do it and understands the system, has a good rapport with the quarterback, is a leader on that team. You have the guy already in-house. You can just move him one spot over, draft a guy, maybe go pay a guy or something like that, and he can play left guard.
How about this? How about you take the guy that was one of the highest graded left tackles in the NFL before he tore his ACL in 2021 and play him at left tackle?
No, I don't think he tore his ACL. He didn't tear his ACL.
Okay, we don't have to relitigate the fact that I forgot that. Thank you very much. Okay. How about that? How about you play him at left tackle? He had, I have the stats in front of me from Pro Football Focus. He allowed 13 total pressures in 8 games. He had 1.5 bad runs at left tackle. He was really good at left tackle. Now, he was not good, by his own admission, at right tackle. But if you're going left guard to left tackle, it's different than going from left guard to right tackle, right? Everything's mirrored. We know the old Josh Sitton quote about wiping your hand, wiping your butt with the other hand, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Why would it be? Let's not move one of our best blockers to help out at center. Why don't we move him to left tackle instead? And
well,
you spent time with Rashid Walker, too, so I want to get your thoughts on your confidence level in him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, Elgton can play left tackle. I don't think it's out of the question. But my only thing would be as we move later into a guy's career, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as guys move on in their career and get a little bit older, and you know the game just starts to wear on your body. I mean, is he going to be the same guy out at left tackle as he would be 2 years ago, as he will be 2 years from now, I guess, is my question.
Great question.
And he doesn't consistently play left tackle right now. So that would be my only thought process on that, especially, right, we look at this draft and say they do draft an offensive lineman in the first round. That's probably who, unless Rashid Walker wins this gig outright and makes a giant step this year and plays really well. I mean, you kind of look at it as if they draft an offensive lineman, they're probably drafting someone in the mold of a left tackle or a tackle in general that could potentially play guard, right, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you draft a guy in the first round and you know left tackle is going to be a competition, right, no matter what, if they draft an offensive lineman high, he's going to be in competition with Walker for the left tackle job, and it's up to Walker to win that job. I don't think you would draft that guy and not earmark him to be a left tackle down the future and say, hey, we're going to move Elgton out the left tackle. Now we got to fill the guard and the center spot. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that would be something they do. But again, I have no idea.
Let me give you two scenarios, Brian. All right, and then take me through each of these. The first one is that Graham Barton, right, the guy who played left tackle at Duke, but projects as an interior guy in the NFL, which we know the Packers are great at taking left tackles and playing them elsewhere, right, including you, right, and Josh Sitton and da-da-da-da-da all the way down the list. Sean Ryan was a left tackle at UCLA, and now he's a right guard. Let's say Graham Barton is available, whether they trade up to get him or stay put, and they take him. He is not a left tackle in the NFL from all accounts. That's scenario one. Scenario two is none of the offensive linemen that they like, including Mims, is available to them at 25, and they don't take an offensive lineman until the third round. Now, again, we've seen rookies come in and play, even in third-round picks or further down the draft, so it's not impossible. But let's say that it's not a guy that's ready to play right away. What do you do, and how confident are you in Rashid Walker to be your starting left tackle for 17 games in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can do it. I'm confident in that he can do it. I think we need to see that same consistency to start this year out as we saw at the end, right? Like, I think the trend is very good right now with him. And listen, I got to spend time with him. I think he's a big guy. Like, he is a very, you know, you look at him and he looks, he's very prototypical left tackle, especially in today's NFL, the way that these guys are built and everything like that. So he's got that profile to him. And now my only thing would be when he does get the start from day one and he's not rotating and it's his gig and he wins it over, how does he perform throughout the season? Because we saw at times last year when he was the full-time guy early on, it didn't really look right. He wasn't playing well, probably to his own admission as well. And then he got into the competition with Yash and they were splitting time and then finally won it over and he played solid. So I'm hoping that same confidence carries from end of the year to start of the year. Now, my only thing would be, if it's not that, right, like say he does struggle a little bit early, how quick are they then to potentially move an Elton Jenkins out to left tackle? Could they do it? They may. I don't know. And my whole thing would be if they do, it all depends on what they do in the draft. Do you get a guy like Barton? Because, like, I think Barton can play left tackle in the NFL. I do. I mean, I've watched him. I've watched
cut-ups
of him.
Those short arms, man.
Those short arms guys are the worst.
Yeah. Homer had me do a little research on him, so I did. I watched a couple games of him and cut-ups and things like that, and I like him. I think he's a good player. And then you saw his testing numbers, and I'm not big in testing, but you saw the way he moved and his abilities to move in tight spaces and the dude can play. So, you know, the people that project him at center, I think you're cutting him short. I really do. Now, obviously, if he gets into a training camp and he literally can't do it, then okay, there we go. But I think you're cutting him short by saying he can't do it, if that's what all the talking heads on TV, the Kuipers and all them are saying. I think you need to relook at the tape, honestly. But it's all dependent on what Green Bay, what they do. If they, like you said, Jason, if they don't take a guy to the third round, what we see right now is kind of what we have to assume what we're going to get.
Right.
Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Ryan, Tom. And we don't know the depth behind it. And that's what I'm worried about. And that's the only thing that concerns me going into this draft. If we don't get a guy in the first or the second, and I'm not saying third-round guys aren't ready to play right now. I'm not saying that. But you start to put that variable in, what exactly you're getting when you're picking guys in third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. You don't know exactly what you get until they get on the field and play in real snaps, right? Like,
right.
There's a difference between practice snaps and real snaps and even preseason snaps and regular season snaps. You don't really understand until you see it. And how much will the Packers be willing to play a third or fourth rounder right out the gate with their new 50-whatever-million-dollar quarterback? I don't know. So, like, we have to assume that they're confident in Walker based on what they see early on in OTAs and what they see early on in OTAs obviously is not going to impact what they do in the draft, because if they're dead set on a tackle and they want to trade and make moves to get that tackle, they're going to do it regardless, mm-hmm. right? Like that's going to be done. But I personally, I'm fine with them with Walker starting out at left tackle. I'm fine with it. I think obviously I'm not going to be watching OTAs and training camp like you will, Jason. I won't be able to see those things. But based on what he showed on tape last year towards the end, when he was confident and he won the job over, there's no reason to believe that that won't carry over into this season. It should even be more confident. He should even feel better about everything going into this year. Right. At least that's the way I always looked at it.
No, you're right. And maybe they get a David Bakhtiari type. Maybe they get a Corey Linsley type, a guy who can play right away. Maybe that they do have that happen, and that changes everything.
Correct.
But they have to be fine with the starting five they have, because there's no guarantee they're going to get a guy that can hit the ground running like some guys have done, right?
Yeah, and
that's the reality.
Like we all know it. It's hard to find Corey Linsley's and Dave Bakhtiari's. Like those are all pro players, right? Like those are hard guys to find and count on finding those guys in later rounds. It's really difficult. Not saying it can't be done, but it's difficult. And even if you would look at Dave was forced into action because of my ACL. If you watch Dave's first season starting at left tackle, you would not have guessed that he turned out to be the player that he became, right? Mm-hmm. Like you would have never guessed it based on watching him. Obviously, he made tons of improvements from year one to year two and three and on. And even, I mean, Corey was a different story. And I say it again because it's that center position, right? It's not, I'm not saying it's easy. It's a very mental game, which Corey's obviously a very smart guy, but it's not as physically demanding as the other position. So Corey, being a very smart guy, he's strong guy, he's athletic, was able to jump in there right away, not without hiccups. I'm sure if you heard the audio copy of a lot of those games, there'd be a lot of obscenities thrown at him from Aaron throughout those games. Like if you were to go back and listen to the audio copies, not saying there wasn't hiccups, but you know what, when you have a guy that ended up being an all-pro caliber guy, he was able to step in and do it. But that's saying you can find those guys every time, and it's not easy, because if it was easy, every team would be waiting until the third, fourth round to pick offensive linemen, and there'd be no first round linemen. They we can wait on linemen, we're going to find great ones in the later rounds. It's hit or miss, and with the Packers' depth, I feel like you have to invest in it a little bit earlier. And that's just, and I'm not saying all first round picks pan out, because they certainly don't, and all second round picks don't pan out, because they certainly don't. But you like your odds better of inserting a guy to play sooner than later in those rounds. And that's historically, if you look at it, that's what it is. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's just the way it is.
Yep, and to your point about David, I remember him saying it very clearly. He played well at left tackle for a rookie. He always said, I didn't play well for a left tackle. I need to be better. And to your point, he did. He became a great left tackle eventually. Brian, you're great. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks for talking some sense into Tausch about this pizza-biting incident. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
All right, guys, take it easy.
That is Brian Bulaga, owner of the most famous fictional donkey farm.
At that donkey farm
in Florida. Tausch, raise a Coors Light to our friend Brian Bulaga for spending some time with us.
Yeah, we had a Coors Light the other day at the tailgate tour. Coors Light brewed with a 3-step cold process called lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And the mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans are blue. That's when you know it's chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.